This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The end is getting clearer and clearer in sight. But can Mansfield Town stay where they are? Can they hold firm? And can we stop dreaming about tomorrow? Echoing the words of Nigel Clough. Following a fantastic 5-1 win at Bradford City, the Stags are 4 points clear at the top of Sky Bet League Two. And ahead of the next two games, we're asking, are those fixtures going to be season-defining? As they take on Colchester United on Saturday, a team scrapping for their lives at the bottom, followed by the trip to Wrexham on Good Friday, a team desperately trying to hunt down Mansfield and get back-to-back promotions. Tonight, we'll focus on all things Bradford. We'll take a look back to last night's and evening with Nigel Clough as he reveals some interesting things. And we'll also take a little look at that league table. Try and stay grounded. Try not to get too far ahead of ourselves. But mainly, just enjoy the ride with some little bits of Mansfield Town news thrown in between the chats. As always, if you want to get involved and have your say on your team, you can do so via the comments in the live feed. This is the show for the fans, by the fans. This is the Mansfield Matters podcast. The end is in sight, but we're staying grounded, remembering to not dream about tomorrow. Hello, good evening and welcome to the Mansfield Matters podcast. It's the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. Following that fantastic 5-1 win at Bradford, I thought tonight we would get a panel of five. So let's say hello to our cast of actors tonight playing the role of various footballers. Let's say first and foremost, a hello and good evening to the man who I'm going to say is playing the role of Lucas Aikins tonight. It's Cam Felton.
Good evening.
Let's say hello and good evening to the man who's playing the part of Davis Keeler Dunn. It's Clive Parkin.
Hello there.
No, that's Stephen Quinn you're thinking of.
No. Hello there.
No, right, there you go. That's Stephen Quinn. Let's say hello and good evening to the man who I think, I'm sure he'll be delighted with the part of Big Will Swan. It's Adam Wilson.
Good evening, Craig. Good evening, everybody.
Do you get it, Wilson? Will Swan? No, do you get it? Thank you.
And the man
who I'm going to... Do you know what? I'm going to pick who I'm going to be. I'm going to be Bailey Cargill, which means there's only one man left. It's Aaron Lewis, a.k.a. Jim. Evening.
Evening, everybody. I hope everybody's
good to see you, as always. I'm not going to remember who's who, so let's just be Craig, Clive, Cam, Alan and Jim, shall we? And remember, all throughout this podcast, Alan, that there will be no cake. More on that later on. Right, shall we dive straight in? Jim, I'm going to start with you tonight. 5-1 win at Bradford.
4 points clear at the top of Sky Bet League Two. Is there anything to actually talk about tonight?
Well, yeah, there is. We're in a great position, but I think, like Clough said last night, we've not done anything until we've done it, and we've got to stay focused and in the process. And I'm pretty confident, but I think, you know, the only thing that's going to scupper us is an injury crisis. So, yeah, you know, things are rosy, but, you know, one game at a time.
There's already a little bit of pessimism in the voice of Jim there. So, Alan, I'm going to come back to you, the most optimistic man on the planet.
Yeah, I don't think there's any panicking. No panic, no nothing, just to carry on railroading through. Carry on with Saturday on Sky cameras, put in on a nice true performance and another 3 points in the bag.
If there's one thing to take away from last week in Cam other than the 3 points, it's the fact that Mansfield Town, yet again, after a slump, bounced back in the most emphatic way that they know how.
I think after 17, 18 minutes, I think we were all dreaming. Because from last Tuesday, that was not what we expected. But then again, this season is what we expected. Every bogey side that we've come up in the past, all bar Sutton to an extent, we've beat. Obviously, Sutton, we just forget Sutton at home. Never beat Sutton at home. But we've just done so well this season, and anything is possible with this side. And it was a frenetic start, to say the least, from both sides on Saturday. So if it had been 2-0 Bradford, you wouldn't have been surprised. If it had been 2-0 Mansfield, you wouldn't have been surprised. Both teams had the chances, and you can clearly tell who's got the confidence and who's up the right end of the table by who took their chances. And the story of our season for the last 2 years have been Mansfield not able to take chances. Mansfield don't take their chances. And this season, it's just poof, done, fixed. 78 goals this season. It's insane. It's incredible.
Yeah, five of them came on Saturday at Bradford, Clive. And in truth, in that second half, Mansfield arguably should have had more.
Yeah, I don't ever remember a Mansfield side being so comprehensively in control as they were at Bradford. Yes, Bradford had a couple of chances, but their game, I mean, the quality of their game was poor, let's be fair about it. They're a team that's riding the crest of a slump at the moment. But we just dominated the game, and in every department we were stronger and better and quicker than they were. So I'm with Alan, I don't think we've anybody to fear. There's only one team that can do a double over us, and that's Milton Keynes Dons. So I'm hoping to kill that demon in a couple of weeks' time. But we've got a team, as Cam's just said, that's scoring for fun at the moment. To be fair, Cam, we weren't scoring that well at the beginning of the season. We were making lots of chances, not converting at the level we have been doing recently. And this is for a team that's not playing with a centre-forward. It just goes to show that if your team sets up properly and they can press high and move forward with a bit of pace, they'll score goals, even without our leading goal scorer. So I think we've got a team that, I mean, the stats don't lie. Is it 38 games in, 36 games in, 38? And we are, we've scored more goals than anybody else. We've conceded fewer goals than anybody else. We've won more games than anybody else. I don't know what else you can say apart from the team's where it should be. And we can afford to lose a couple of games. I don't think we will lose two games on the running, but, you know, we've got to be prepared for that.
Absolutely. As always, come and have your say on your team in the comments. Lots of people saying evening. Come and say more. Let us know what you thought of the game. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know any comments, questions, opinions you've got on all things Mansfield Town. We want to hear them this evening. Let's stay on the importance of things and the impact of strikers. We were talking there about not having a recognised striker, but Alan Will Swan. I think one thing you could say, you know, that has been influential to where we are at the moment is the form of Will Swan, who's pretty much scored all of his goals. What's he got? 9 goals since the turn of the year. An absolutely incredible bit of form from him. Nigel Clough was full of praise for him last night. But again, he's stepped up at the right moment.
Yes, but you need to play, Craig. I mean, how many times have we said it on this podcast in recent weeks that he hadn't been playing, he'd been going through a slump, he was injured, he couldn't hit a barn door, And then, you know, you've got to keep playing the lad. You've got to have faith in him. And faith's proved, you know, it's proved immeasurable just lately because his confidence is back, he's scoring goals, and it's the Will Swan that we know and love. But you've got to play games.
Yeah, and that playing games bit has been absolutely pivotal for him, Jim. He's been, you know, the man who's hit form. He, it's one of those things really, really, which has got Mansfield driving forward. And you know, we felt the loss of Reece Oates, didn't we, when he got injured? But Will Swan has stepped up at exactly the right time, and. You know what? He's one of those players where we were talking before Christmas about either get him game time and get him confidence or get him out on loan. We've given him game time. He's got the confidence. And it's one of those where we have to hold our hands up and say, well done, management.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think DKD said, didn't he? It's been like signing a new player. And he looks a totally different player than he did before Christmas. But we always knew it was there, didn't we? I know we were talking about him going out on loan. But we always knew from last season there was a quality and class centre-forward in there. And it's just form, isn't it, and confidence. And he's a young lad, and young lads are inconsistent. They always are. But it's brilliant. It's really good. And to be honest with you, I think if we did get promoted, he'd cut it in League One, I think. I think he's good enough. A goal scorer is a goal scorer, aren't they? So, yeah, really good. Really yes. Good. It helps playing in a good team, but, yeah.
Yeah, he's served us really, really well. Keep your comments coming in. Ben says Swan has been absolutely immense. Timing is immaculate. Can see him getting 15 plus goals before the end of the season. Do you know what, Clive? I don't think he'd be far wrong with that, would he? I think he's certainly got more goals left in him. And the more we start creating chances, the more he seems to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, as has been said, he's a young player and still learning his craft. But what he has got, and the team lacked for a long period of time, especially since the absence of Oates, is a player with pace. And he brought the pace. I mean, it was evident on Saturday at Valley Parade. His pace just destroyed their team. They had no idea how to deal with him. It just left space behind for the other players to capitalise on. So his form now is good. It's a matter of keeping it going.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Alan, one of the things as well, which has been spoken about in the comments from Jack, says that Swan's work rate was fantastic on Saturday. Still think he could be more ruthless, but he has been brilliant recently. I think we were all saying sort of after the game, weren't we, that we felt that he was probably our man of the match was Will Swan.
Yeah, I think he did actually get to the man of the match, didn't he? If I read something correct, you know, he did get it. But especially down the left-hand side with Cargill and Quinney, you know, feeding either Keelan or Swan and running on to, you know, making the space for the other forwards. It was a pleasure to watch, Craig. It really was. We thoroughly enjoyed Saturday, didn't we? It was the best away day so far, I think, for me.
Yeah, it certainly was. Do you want to delve into your little ditty now before we move on and move away from talking about Bradford? Because basically, within the space of 10 minutes, we've already covered everything there is to cover about Saturday's game. And, you know, there's not a lot more left to be said about it. What we really need to do is we need to move on and look ahead to forthcoming fixtures. We've got some news articles to discuss and talk about, and of course we've got last night's event, an evening with Nigel Clough, to talk about as well, plus any of your comments, questions and opinions in the live feed as well. Please do keep them coming. Anything you want to ask, anything you want to talk about, drop them in the comments now and we will talk about them on this show. If you listen to the audio version of this, then please do come and join us live. Follow us on all things social media to find out when we're next going to be live. I think that's enough padding from me. I think that's giving Alan enough time to get up his notes and prefix the story from Saturday. What is the story behind Clive Narty's no cake?
Well, basically, when we got there, we were thinking of sitting on the couch for a while. And Clive said, no, I fancy some chips. You know, I fancy a walk, go and find some chips. So we went along the basic high street. I thought Clive had gone then. Went along the basic high street looking for chips. Couldn't find any anywhere. There was all sorts of shops there. And Craig mentioned a couple of times, there was a bakery, there was a petrol station, there was a Tesco Express. And then we saw this, like, this sweet shop, you know, the cake tart shop. And then we basically said, do you fancy a bit of cake? Clive didn't want to go over the road at Tesco Express because he said it was it was far too busy on the road. And we just mentioned about, what about having some cake? And all of a sudden, Clive just very vigorously said, no cake. And it just made me and, we were like taken aback, weren't we, Craig? It was just out of the ordinary for what Clive normally does. But it was funny.
Yeah, very, very shocking. And you wrote a little ditty about it as well.
Well, I did, but I was just trying to find it.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you the rest of the episode to find it. Clive, any defence on the cake scenario before we move on?
Yes, I'm going to exercise my right to reply here because you two went cake giddy, and I was trying to restrain you for your own safety. There was a multi-lane highway between us and the Asian cake shop. By the way, all they sold were things like Diwali cakes, so I don't know what you were expected to find at the other side of the road. But let me establish once and for all a well-trodden, well-proven, well-accepted rule about football food. It has to be savoury. You can have a burger, you can have a hot dog, you can have a pie, you can have chips. You cannot have cake before a football game. It's just not done. And so therefore, I wanted to make that point very briefly, very succinctly, and I said, no cake.
Yeah, but if I could just put in there, Clive, I did say when we passed the burger van, I says, yeah, this is about 3 hours before. Slight exaggeration, I know. I said, yeah, there's probably chips at the burger van. Oh, no, we just carried on, you know, forget what I've asked or what I've said. And then we finally got back to the burger van, and lo and behold, what did you have?
I'm going to interject there, Alan, and say that we walked round Bradford for no reason, far too much, and it was an absolute disgrace that Clive didn't want cake. Right, moving on. Let's go to some sensible comments, shall we? Mark says, I love Quinny's passion. He's a great example to the younger players and always gives his all. And Ross then, as a follow-up, Cam, asks, do you think Quinny will do another season? He's got all the skill and passion, but just age and potential risk of injury. Well, age for me is just but a number. But will the ginger messiah, and I'm not talking about me or Cam, will he sign a contract extension, Cam Felton? Sorry, Cam Digby Byron.
I think he will, even if it's just a bit part position next season. A bit more sort of like, a bit like Percher did last season, kind of just rolled into a bit more of the backroom kind of stuff. Because the worry is, I don't for a second think this will happen, but if we went straight back down again, Quinny most definitely doesn't have 2 years in him. He might have one, but not two. So would we want someone that's going to go down, let's be honest, he's going to go down as like a cult hero. Maybe not a legend, but definitely a cult hero. Would we want someone like Quinny bowing out on a relegation? Now, I don't think for a second that we'd go straight back down, but you never know what could happen next season. So is it a case of go out on a high, or is it a case of, you know what, sod it, we'll get one last blast, regardless of what happens.
Yeah, I genuinely think that Stephen Quinn will just play until he drops. He just loves it. He's just got all the energy, all the enthusiasm, all the passion of someone that's not even half his age, which is absolutely phenomenal. He seems to have this love affair with the club and with the gaffer as well, which is another thing we can talk about a little bit later on. But Jim, what's your take on Stephen Quinn? We've been saying on this podcast for a couple of seasons now that we have to prepare ourselves for a life after Stephen Quinn. And like Ross says in the comments, don't get me wrong, love him, does good little tricks, etc., and is passionate as heck, and I love him. But just the age and the potential risk of injuries is always there. But I don't know, taking a player like Stephen Quinn into a League One dressing room in a bid to not only just stay in the league, but sustain us and try and build us for the future, I think it's an absolute must to get to give Stephen Quinn one of these, aka a pen, to sign on the dotted line. Jim?
Yeah, totally agree. I think we want all the good players we can get if we're going to be in League One next season. He's one of those, isn't he? So I mean, he's on rolling one-year deals, isn't he? So it'll probably be on a, you know, a particular contract reflecting the fact that he doesn't play 90 minutes every week, and he might play, you know, one in two or three. But I'd certainly want him in there, yeah, for his quality that league on the level above. So absolutely, yeah, I would give him another year at least. Yeah, I'm sure he'd sign it as well, because like you say, he wants to keep playing, doesn't he? He loves the game, so I'm sure he'd sign. Yeah, keep it.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, let's move on to last night's An Evening with Nigel Clough, part of the SSA's Fans Forum event. Always sort of comes around once a year. It's an obligatory thing that the club must do as part of their EFL commitments and things like that. Funnily enough, they always happen to be towards the end of the season when there's less to play for and always strategically placed. But last night was a great atmosphere. No better time to have him down at the One Call, Alan, than after his birthday with the club that he manages, playing the best football they've played under his tenure. Top of the league, 4 points clear on the back of a 5-1 win. It couldn't, the dominoes couldn't have aligned more perfectly, could they, than last night?
No, I thought it was an enjoyable evening. You know, it's some of it's tongue-in-cheek, especially from Nigel, because he quite a few funny comments last night, especially most of them aimed at poor Steve-O. But yeah, I thought it was what it usually is. You know, there were some decent questions. There were some not awkward questions, I wouldn't say. I don't think there was any awkward questions last night, because there wouldn't have been. We're top at league for a reason. We're the best team. He's the best manager in the league at this present time. And I just think it was a decent, enjoyable night.
Yeah, it certainly was. Plenty of questions asked, some of them trivial, some of them the ones that you'd expect. But of course, the one question which did pop up, as has been asked in the comments, is this from Mark, who says, was anything mentioned about a new deal for Cloughy last night? Well, I can tell you that no one called him Cloughy, at fear of their own safety. Unsure what the length of his contract is. Now, this did come up last night, and this is one of those questions which I think is going to potentially spark an interesting discussion. Because, and Cam, you weren't there last night, so I'll come to you for reaction on this first. You've watched it back since.
It is on YouTube now.
Yeah, I saw the premiere, and I didn't know whether you'd have had a chance to watch it or not with when it started. But anyway, I'll come to you for your reaction first anyway. And Nigel Clough basically said that the contract deal that they did at the end of last season was one in which a year would be triggered if we were to get promotion into League One. However, if we weren't to get promotion, that he would leave the club to allow somebody else to come in. Your first initial reactions to that, and then me, Clive, and Jim, who were all in the room last night, can talk a little bit more about the tone in which he said it and some of the body language around it as well. So basically, in a nutshell, the answer to the question about his new contract is, a automatic year will be triggered if we get promoted to League One. If we don't, if we fail to do that, then there will be no new contract for him, and he will look to step aside.
Two parts to that for me. Firstly, let's be real. If we blow it now, he doesn't deserve another chance. Because this is a bigger chance to get promotion than most of us will have ever seen as a Mansfield fan. The football that we're playing, the amount of goals that we're scoring, the lack of goals that we're conceding until the last month or so, and just the form of everybody else underneath us, they've got to play each other. I think, what was it, the late kickoff on Saturday, for example, Stockport versus MK Dons. That could be a massive game for us. So if he doesn't do it this season, he wants shooting, because they will not, even playoff winning season, playoff losing season, sorry, we didn't have as good a chance of going up as we did then. We've got a better side with better players playing better football, and it's just a positive place to be. The second part of that is, even if we didn't go up, I still feel like I'd want him to stay. And I hit, you could hear in the background of the video, like people's just like, even if we don't do it, I want to stay, Cloughy, stay, please. And to be honest, who would you go for? Realistically, other than going out and paying for another manager from another club, who is there out there at the moment that's not going to be charging a ridiculous amount of money? Because I've got a... Cloughy were played handsomely, but not ridiculous amounts, because that's the whole principles of his recruitment, was players that are going to be here to play good football, but also aren't going to take the absolute piss in the bank. So I think we'll do it. So I think he'll stay. But even if we didn't, I still want him to stay.
Now, it's an interesting point, really, about whether or not he will, you know, I agree with you, your first point, which means I've done it again. I found myself agreeing with Cam and I hate it. We are in such a great position now that if something was to go drastically wrong, then it would be absolutely heartbreaking and really, really tough to take, and would have no doubt a knock-on effect into next season, more than what the playoff defeat had, for sure. But that said, it's one of those things, isn't it, where I felt the groans in the room and I did feel the disappointment, because we've built something up, and I completely agree. But if he was to walk away, which I think he would do, I genuinely do feel if we don't get promotion, he will walk away, regardless of how many people want him to stay, because I think he will have set out a goal in his head of where he wants to go, and there's other factors to take into consideration. But the other thing with that is, it's not just him. There's a structure there which he's put in place, and I don't see that structure staying without him. It's very much a full package. You'd lose your assistant manager, the lesser spotted Mr. Crosby. You'd lose your first team coach in Andy Garner. Your goalkeeping coach would probably stay. Your fitness coach would probably stay, and that sort of support staff. But then someone else might come in and want to put somebody else in play. So it's a big, big, big risk. But we do have to prepare ourselves for a point in the future where we are in a world without Nigel Clough. But I don't think we've got that worry. I think it was just a thing of him maybe just trying to calm things a little bit. But Clive, you could feel the groans in the room. You could feel the little bit of disappointment there. But even then, he was talking about, at the very start of the interview, he was talking about his personal life and that it is personal. But throughout it, you got the sense that he's maybe reached a point now where he's done. He's surpassed his dad in terms of games managed as a manager. He's had phenomenal achievements in his career. And it is a point now where his family's growing up and probably wants to spend a little bit of time with them. So you could understand why he said what he said. And I think, to be honest, looking back and reflecting on it, when he left Burton to help them in their financial situation with COVID, I think if the Mansfield offer had not come in, I don't think he would have gone back into football management anyway. I think we've just sort of caught him at the back end of his track.
Yeah, he's in a fortunate position, I guess, that he can make any decision he wants to make based on how he feels. And I understand the people in the audience last night pleading with him to stay, whatever happened, because that's an emotional thing. Now, I think some of the worst decisions our club has made in recent years have been based on emotion. And if we did fail now at this point, everybody would be upset and emotional, and the reaction would be the wrong one, in my opinion. What Mr. Clough has done with the owners of the club is set out a plan. And we said, these are the circumstances. We'll either get promoted or we won't. If we get promoted, then I'll take a year's rolling extension. That makes sense. And what he also said is, if we've not done it after 3.5 years, it's time to try someone different. And I think as well, our management team is probably the most expensive one at our level, and probably some of the teams in League One as well. And that's because the owners have been able to bankroll that alongside a big squad, bigger than most in this league. And that can only go so far before you have to draw back and start again. Now, I don't want to see him go because I think there's been a continuum under his management that's got us to where we are now. But that has to culminate with promotion. We don't have to be champions, we have to go up. Otherwise, all of that investment by the owners and by the fans, bear in mind, we've doubled the gates in the time that club's been there, will have been wasted. He knows that. And I think what he agreed, what he told us he agreed with the manager, with the owners, makes absolute sense. Whether there's a change in mind or whether, you know, the Radfords plead with him to stay if, in the event of changing that decision, I don't know. But it would be the wrong decision, in my opinion. I think clear heads, proper thinking, not just reacting to circumstance. We've done that before, got things wrong, got the wrong managers in. I think it's right that he should move on if we fail to get promoted. Sadly.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree. Jim, what about you? I tried to read your body language whilst Clough was giving his answers last night, but couldn't quite get too much. So why don't you share with us now your thoughts on Nigel Clough's words and whether or not you agree with what Clive has said there in terms of if we do a complete bottle job and fail, whether or not the it would be right to move on. What's your take on that whole answer from Clough last night?
I think it's very fair, to be honest with you. I think, you know, if we do fail and we bottle it, then I think it is right he moves on. And I think it comes to the point, even if he is the best available, I think the players almost lose faith and they need to hear a new voice. It comes to that point where the players stop believing. And I think he would have had a good enough chance to it then, enough windows, enough time. And I think, yeah, I think if we fail, it would be time to step away. But in my gut, I think we'll do it. I do. I think it's very fair and right. That what's been set out is right. Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much Nigel Clough's mantra, though, isn't it? Anyway, Alan, he does the right thing by his players. He does the right thing by the club. He's got a history of doing it, especially with the whole Burton situation as well. But I guess it was just taken as such a flat thing because we're on this massive, massive high. And it was like he just went, yeah, but I'll give it another year when we get promoted, if we get promoted. And if we don't, that's me done. It just came across a little bit flat, but it was the Nigel Clough way, wasn't it?
In the end, I think it'll be up to, you know, it'll be up to Nigel anyway, whether he wants to carry on or not, irrespective whether John and Carolyn ask him or, you know, whatever the circumstances are. I think it will be how Nigel feels at that time. And to a certain point, same as Quinny. I think Quinny will be exactly the same. It'll be the same situation with Quinny, whether he feels he can carry on or he wants to carry on, whether it's in League One or not. But I hope he stays. And, well, I think he'll be a League One manager next year. End of.
Yeah, I completely agree. Let's move on from that question last night, Cam, to another one, and that was regarding contracts and things. And let's stay on the topic of Nigel Clough being a nice man and being a fair man. And that is, of course, we spoke about Reece Oates earlier, of course, injured this season. We saw it with Alfie Kilgore as well. He was given a new deal. Reece Oates' contract for him is under negotiation, as it is for Scott Flinders and Jordan Bowery as well. But the Reece Oates one is really interesting. So I think we all felt, didn't we, that when he got injured, that his time at the club would probably be over and he wouldn't wear a Mansfield shirt again. I guess it just shows how much Nigel Clough believes in him. And whether or not he comes back in to become the same player or not and play at the same frequency is an unknown. But we are in a world where football's a cutthroat environment. And when you are injured and unable to do your job and having a newborn baby as well, that puts a massive mental strain on you and can have disastrous consequences in some ways as well. So just to know that Nigel Clough is going to look after him regardless of what happens, whether or not he signs a new deal or not, we will look after him until he's match fit, says a lot about how far we've come as a club, because, again, previous seasons, previous managers, you'd be out the door.
You would. And this is not only a Mansfield thing, but just in clubs in general are just taking care of former players. Like, if Pertianter stayed on as like a coach this season or last season when we were looking after him after he'd fractured his skull and whatever, then we'd have probably still looked after him then. The clubs are just, there's a bit more of a duty of care from clubs. So that's not just a Mansfield thing, but he's so easy just to toss an injured player by the wayside, because that's just how football works. And you don't effectively waste your time on an injured player when you've got X amount of players that are fit. And I suppose that's also the belief that we've shown in Elliot Hewitt and Alfie Kilgore. We know that they can perform at the level, but I feel like that the Oates situation is because it's just he's consistently injured. We've never seen a full 3, 4, 5 months of Reece Oates without picking up some sort of injury. And I get that it's the sort of player that he is. He throws himself into tackles. He runs himself into brick walls. But you've also got to take a step back and look and be like, can we really be taking a risk on a player like that, especially at League One, where the players that of quality you need are going to be on a higher wage bracket? So you just automatically look, right, where can we cut wages so we can reinvest in other places? Ah, we'll go with the player that's hardly played last season because he's injured constantly, and we'll be on one of the higher wages in the team. I feel like it probably is his time. It'd be good to go out on a high with him, but if he can keep himself fit, he's more than enough to be a League Two player. It'll rock up somewhere else in League Two. I don't have any doubts about that. Yeah. Is he a League One though?
Yes.
Maybe an impact player off the bench, but it's a bit part role. And is he going to want that?
Yeah, Paul in the comments said, sorry to say this, but I don't think Oates is a League One player. David also asks, is Oates a potential future manager? Probably is on that simulation game, which we all love, called Football Manager. I don't really want to delve into that discussion yet or not in real life. Marie says, Oates can be clumsy with tackles, which causes injuries. Post-reconstruction, he'll probably think twice about jumping in. It's just good to know that we're looking after him and taking care for him. And, you know, also in contract negotiations, Alan, with the likes of Scott Flinders and Jordan Bowery, as much as we talk about, you know, Nigel Clough saying that he'll walk away if we don't get promotion, he's very much still in the frame of mind of building a squad and keeping the right bodies around. We've not got to this point without some consistency and some firm consistency, and it looks like that's at the very forefront of his mind as well in terms of potential new deals for Jordan Bowery, albeit probably more of a bit part player next season, and Scott Flinders as the number two GK.
Yeah, and I think that's right. I think is you know, it served its purpose for everybody then, you know, looking after Oates, Kilgore, Hewitt, whoever. I mean, what would happen if Flint got injured? We'd do exactly the same. And everybody, you know, would be feeling in the right place and in the right mind for Flint if he got injured. Whoever gets injured, you know, they should look after him. Like Cam said, it's duty of care nowadays. But it's nice to see that people being rewarded. Because we were on about the young goalkeeper, weren't we?
Owen Mason.
And he said, you know, he could probably still go out on loan next year. But after that, you know, be look forward to being possibly a number two. And, you know, it's just that sort of thing. I think that it just bodes well. It puts confidence in players. If people know they're going to be asked for a contract, you know, or contracts on the table, you know, why not? Keep them on board and keep this thing moving. Confidence is a big thing in football.
Yeah, it certainly is. Ross in the comments says, Alan, Flint is injured. Well, Ross, do you know what? I don't think Flint is injured. You can't injure Flint because he's built like an absolute brick house, isn't he? So, absolutely. Keep your comments, questions and opinions coming in. Really want to hear them. Let's talk one last thing from last night's evening with Nigel Clough and Richard Cooper as well. We should probably touch upon that a little bit in the second part of tonight's show as well. But Clive, let's talk about him being asked about the future as well. One thing he stressed was, if not when we get to League Two, was very, very heavy on him. On saying if not when, and he's absolutely right on that. We'll talk more about that in general in the second half of the show. But he was also asked, Clive, about if we were to get to League One, what do you think the squad needs? And I think he shocked a few people with his answer, didn't he? In terms of saying around 6 to 8 players.
Yeah, I think he said 6. I don't know if he said 6 to 8, but either way, it's a realistic appraisal, because we aren't going to keep everybody we've got. Some players are going to move on. And I think one thing that's been proven this year is that we've done well because we've got the depth in our squad to cover for injuries, which in a way we hadn't in previous two seasons. So I don't think he wants to enter into a promotional season with too small a squad. So he's going to have to buy some talent in anyway. And we've got one or two players who are moving through the end of their careers, whatever the situation with Quinny and others. It's you have to look beyond that. And for goodness sake, we have a full-time recruitment team. If we're not looking to recruit, what's the purpose of it? When Coops had his say, I mean, he spoke about how we'd progress the academy and the training scheme, and they're setting up lots of different youth levels. All that's commendable. But what's the measure of success at the end of the day of having all that? It's hopefully, unless I'm wrong, it's finding some homegrown talent that performs well in your team, in your first team. We haven't got there yet. It's a considerable investment that's gone into it. It has community value, there's no question about that. But ultimately, I'd like to see some homegrown talent come through and shine. We're not there. So I think everybody's taking a long-term view of the thing, and recruitment is just part of that. And I think all through this season, they will have been thinking about who they might approach if A, we get promoted, or B, we don't. And I have to trust that they've got enough nous about them. I've joked in the past about the only place that gets players from is old teams, and notably Burton Albion. And there's been a bit of that. But there have been some really good acquisitions based on general football knowledge and networking. And that's something they're going to have to do next year.
Yeah, it certainly is. The thoughts there of Clive Parkin, Alan Wilson, Jim Evans, Cam Felton also alongside me tonight as we talk all things Mansfield Town. We'll talk a little bit more about the academy and wrap up last night's an evening with event after the break. Plus, we'll ask the big question. Is Saturday a season-defying game for both sides? Mansfield Town taking on Colchester United. See what I did there? I mixed both teams up. I really need to go to bed at night. So I'm going to pretend that I didn't do that and do this.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
As the end of the season draws ever closer, we are drawing ever closer to our event at Mansfield Museum as part of the Football Beautiful Game exhibition. Stag Stories live with former Mansfield Town goalkeeper Ian Bowling. Sunday the 28th of April, 6 p.m. start. There will be a bar. People keep asking me that. The theatre bar will be open for that one. Tickets are just £4.50 per person and they're on sale now via the link in the description. All proceeds go to supporting the Mansfield Museum, so do go along to that one. Get your tickets and come and join us. It'd be great to see you there and hopefully celebrate a title-winning promotion along the way as well. Lots of stories from Ian Bowling to tell throughout the years. Come and join us Sunday the 28th of April, 6 p.m. at Mansfield Museum. You can also get tickets for Nick's second shirt event. I think there's around two of them left. So, yeah, get in the comments to get involved with that as well. And check out the Palace Theatre's website and the museum website as well for all the details on football, the beautiful game exhibition coming to Mansfield very, very soon indeed. You're back with the show for the fans, by the fans. This is the Mansfield Matters podcast. Great to see you as well. Thanks so much for joining us once again on the podcast this week. If you want to join in the live discussion, then please feel free to do so. We'll let you know on social media when we're next going to be live. It'll either be Tuesday or Wednesday next week. We're playing on Good Friday. We'll let you know on social media. You can find us at MTFC Matters on Twitter and on ye old Facebook as well. Joining me to discuss all things Mansfield Town tonight, there's a quartet of us going on who earlier on we did assume the roles of the goal scorers from Saturday, but I forgot who I assigned which player to, so that died very, very quickly indeed. It just wouldn't be a Mansfield Matters podcast without something like that happening, would it? But they are Alan Wilson, Cam Felton, Clive Parkin and Jim Evans. And let's go straight back to last night, Alan, by talking a little bit about Lewis Brunt, because that was brought up in the comments as well. And then we can feed nicely into the youth team very briefly and look ahead at some other news. Do you think we will try and keep Brunt on loan for another season, asked Ross? Well, this was asked last night at the fans forum. And the answer was, it will depend on what division we're in and what division his parent club are in.
Yeah, he said that he'd had words, and Brunt had really enjoyed himself this season. You know, he was talking about the Leicester loans, weren't he? About Robert Huth being the loan manager there, you know, and him sorting all out the loans. And then they'd only got one, and that was Brunt. So, you know, he was looking after him quite well. He enjoys himself at Mansfield, but like Nigel said last night, it all depends where Mansfield are, and it all depends where Leicester are, you know, whether a deal can be resurrected again for next year. Hopefully it will, because it's certainly been an integral part of how well we've done this year. I do like the lad.
Easiest job on the planet, Leicester's loan manager job. Jim, we also heard last night a little bit about the academy. And they were asked about why George Cooper's not gone out on loan this season. Currently carrying a bit of a knock. He's had a few injuries this season as well. But basically, the answer to that question was you have to have a couple of homegrown players in your squad. I think it's a minimum of one. Owen Mason and George Cooper were those players. And the initial idea was to split the loans up. So Owen Mason would go out in the first half of the season, George Cooper the second, and in the end, Owen Mason enjoyed his time at Wexford, and I think probably slipped George Cooper a few quid to stay at Mansfield to be that player. But what did you make of that whole conversation about the academy last night? I think it would have been nice for me to have that to be delved into a little bit more, but it was still nice to see that those relationships are clearly forming and getting stronger day by day between academy manager Richard Cooper and, of course, the Stags boss Nigel Clough.
Yeah, I agree with Clive, really. It's all very, very well, and they make the right noises about the academy, but it has got to produce. It's there to try and feed the first team, and as of yet, we've not really seen it. You look at some clubs in years gone by, and the academy has been a staple for the first team. It's probably provided, you know, half of a lot of clubs' first teams in other, you know, in other leagues and other areas. But and I believe it when I see it. I think I'm not sure Klopp has a lot of trust in it. He likes his sort of tried and tested. I'm undecided about it. It's a great idea, but it has got to produce. Simple as that. I didn't know that about that homegrown rule. That was new for me last night. I mean, to be honest with you, I can't see George Cooper getting near our first team in League Two or League One. Owen Mason's still developing, but yeah, again, it's got to produce, and it hasn't yet, so the joy's still out for me.
Football academies, Cam, are always interesting propositions. Ours is, you know, absolutely made strides on where it was years ago under the rebuild. They put a lot of money into it, like it said, but like we say time and time again, the results of which aren't going to come overnight, and it will probably be sort of next season, maybe even the season after, where we try and see some of the results of that, or we could see some of the results of that. But it was interesting, like Nigel Clough said last night, Cam, you know, we've got players like Finn Flanagan who have got the talent, Mikhail Abdullah as well, who's out for the rest of the season, I believe. They've got the talent to do it, but because we've invested in our squad so much this season to try and get into League One, they're just bumped even further back down the pecking order, and it's where do you go? And Nigel Clough made a very good point, actually, in saying that as much as academies are fantastic, if you look at the top 8, 9, 10 sides in League Two, there's barely any academy players, homegrown talent, that are playing within those squads. And, you know, that's not coincidence. I'd muted you and I'd forgot. Sorry.
Rubbish. Who's popping? Is someone making a noise? There we go. It's gone now. There's only really Crewe that ever seemed to do anything. Wimbledon do it to an extent. Even then, they're pretty much their best player out of their academy is currently out at Barnet on loan from us. So it swings and roundabouts. I think the problem is you've got that many players filtering through the system from Premiership and Championship clubs. You look at someone like Lewis Brunt, who's fantastic. He's a much better player than Riley Hartbottle is. And you look at someone like George Cooper, who's of a similar sort of age, a little bit younger, and you think they're not even close. And that's not a negative thing on George Cooper. It's just the fact that is the level that we need our academy to be at, to be able to allow players of our youth development to be in our first team. And Orban, maybe Abdullah, we're not really close with a massive amount, which is the frustrating thing. Because we see on so many occasions where we've got players that may... The first team, you look at the wasted talent in the past, Liam Marsden, Jack Thomas to an extent. Even someone like Jason Law, who I think he's injured at the moment at Scunthorpe. But it's frustrating because there's these players and they've more than enough quality in them. And then we just threw them in too early, or we just didn't use them enough. And it's been a waste, and I'm not saying that we need to sack the academy on the head and put more money into the first team. That's not what I mean at all. But how long is it before one, maybe two players come along in the academy and be like, well, actually, they are good enough for the first team? Because I think it's as much as we can afford to wait, because we've got a good first team. We can't be waiting forever for our academy to finally produce a good League One, League Two quality player.
Yeah, there's plenty of debate to be had around it. I do agree on the whole ones that we've missed in the past and perhaps haven't had that level of game time, or we've not invested them. But all it takes is one gem to come through and one gem to be sold, which can set this football club up for the next five, six, 7 years. It is as simple as that, and it's a long, tedious process. Talking of tedious things, I'm sure you're fed up of me using the megaphone effect every week on the podcast, but guess what? I'm doing it again.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the big question.
Should have put some reverb on that. Clive, the big question is going to be pitched to you first, and that is Saturday, as we look ahead to Colchester United at home, Wancourt Stadium, 12:30 kickoff, because it's on ye old television. Is this a season-defying game? Mansfield could extend their lead at the top of the table, but they take on a side with relatively new managers, a side scrapping for their lives at the bottom of the league. And what better motivation with X amount of games to go, less than 10 games to go, than beating top of the league to kickstart your survival campaign? Is this a season-defying game?
Possibly. I mean, we've got 8 games left. They're all cup finals now. And everybody who's playing us wants to beat us. And we've been there. We know what it's like. They raise the game wherever they can. I think the Cowley brothers have probably done something down there to shift it slightly, because their recent form has been slightly better than it had been previously. But we've got enough to beat them. And that's the way we've got to approach it.
Alan?
No, not defining. I just think it'll be, the same old Stags. 3 points, thank you very much, and move on. I just don't think any game is that defining now. We've got 8 games left. If we win more than we lose, we're promoted. Simple as.
It is simple as, but Jim, do you see my point in terms of the momentum it could give us, the gaps it could bring, and without the negative head on too much, if we were to lose against a team that are scrapping for the life at the bottom of the table and things like that, the impact that could have with nerves on edge with every game that comes?
I see your point about momentum, but I think even if we lose Saturday, I don't think it's season defining now. I think we've got enough to do, enough over the 8 games, and just treat it like a mini league of 8 games. And I think there'll still be ups, downs, twists, turns, but no, I don't think it's season defining. But please, please, please get it done before Barrow.
Yeah, it definitely needs to be done before Barrow, doesn't it? I'm just looking at the league table, and, you know, I titled this episode purposely Don't Dream About Tomorrow, because Nigel Clough in the evening with, and whenever he's spoken in the media, has always been one game at a time. Do not get carried away. Do not allow yourself to dream too much. Do not look too far in the distance, because if you do, you will trip up and you will fall in that massive pothole, which seems to be absolutely everywhere. Stay focused on the next thing. But that said, Cam, you look at the league table, 4-point lead over Stockport at the minute. They've got a game in hand, but they play MK Dons, 5:15 kickoff on Sky on Saturday. Big game, that one. If both teams can draw that game and we win ours, that's a really good thing. And if Grimsby can do us a favour over Wrexham, that could potentially, you know, extend our lead even further to what, 5-6 points at the top of the table, with then Wrexham to play next weekend, Easter Friday. You know, by the time Monday comes along, the gap could either be big and we'll have that breathing space there, or it'll be so narrow it's going to be more and more tense. That's what I mean by, is this weekend season defining?
I think for me, what makes it, I'm not saying it's be all and end all this season, if this weekend. If we win, we win. We lose, we lose. But if we do win, and then say Stockport win, or it's a draw, that then puts an even bigger gap between us and fourth. Now, in theory, every game is going to be season defining. Like you said, this weekend we could either be that far apart or that far apart. It's fine margins at this stage of the season. But when you've got what's perceived to be an easier game than your opposition, i.e. Stockport and basically everybody else who's below us within that small mini league that Jim's mentioned, it does make it that more crucial that you do win that game. Because if we win, And then we get, even if MK Dons beat Stockport, that's still putting a gap between us and second place. You'd like to think, depending on what Wrexham do, but it's still putting a gap between us and the teams below us. And it's just swings and roundabouts. You know what it's like this time of season, but you think we move on to 75 points with seven games left. Even if we went and drew those seven games, you'd still most likely get automatic. So it is a big weekend, partially season defining, but only by the virtue that other teams play each other, for me, if that makes sense.
I'll go with partial. Let's go with that. Reedy says, a point at MK Dons away to become champions, rewrite the history books. David says, my worry is if we lose Saturday, the Wrexham game on Friday looks harder. Two defeats on the bounce would be hard to come back from, which is exactly what I was saying. And then Ben adds, the Cowleys are so smug. They were talking up how Stockport are the most complete team in the league before they drew with Salford. Changed his tune post-game on Sky. Looking forward to that one.
The Cowleys have never liked Mansfield.
Yeah, so,
they're never going to praise us.
Very, very true.
The Larkers even less on Saturday, then.
Yeah, let's hope, Alan. Let's hope. Right, let's turn our attention to news elsewhere around the ground and things like that. MK Dons tickets, by the way, are on sale. So they're on sale right now. They'll be on sale on Saturday, 23rd of March at 5 p.m. The club have received an initial allocation of 2,095 tickets for the encounter, which includes six pairs of wheelchair and carer tickets, with more tickets available upon request should the initial allocation sell out. Now, I've got a sneaky feeling, Clive, that our friends at Milton Keynes might not play ball on that, considering what could be the significance of the game for both teams. I don't think that psychology-wise, they'll want a massive backing of Mansfield fans, because every ticket that gets put on for that game will sell.
I'm sure they don't want us to be out shouting their lot. Of course not, but they have an obligation under EFL rules to supply us with a minimum number of tickets and to explain away if they've denied an away team access to tickets and the stadium is half empty. So they're in a bit of a cleft stick, in my opinion. What they won't want is us to be on the ground, on the lower tier, because they're frightened to death of the animals of Mansfield. And yet we don't have a real track record of disturbing places. We did invade their pitch 2 years ago. So I suppose to a certain extent, they'll try and keep us up in the gods. But even so, I think if they open up enough tickets, we'll sell 5,000 to that game.
We sold 5,000 last time. And yeah, we get more people come to games now than we did back then. So we could probably sell 7, 8, maybe even 10.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens with that one. But tickets go on sale at 5 p.m. on Saturday, the 23rd of March. And they can be purchased online at stagstickets.co.uk. I anticipate that tickets will sell. I think they'll sell quickly. So if you want a ticket for that one, like the Wrexham game, you need to be on the front foot for that one as well. Elsewhere in Mansfield Town news this week, we've had this come out today, that limited tickets are now on sale for the club's annual awards dinner on Sunday, the 21st of April at Wancourse Stadium. The event is sponsored by Adam Soames Elite Training. It will take place within a grand new marquee at the club's home. Doors will open from 5:30 for a 6:30 start. There are limited tickets available and therefore early booking is strongly advised to avoid disappointment. The awards dinner will be opened with an address by the club's chairman, John Radford, followed by a three-course meal and awards presentation. Dress code is formal wear. The night will conclude with a disco until late. And you can now book your place for just £87, including VAT, per person, or £840, including VAT, for a table of 10. And you can call the commercial department on 01623 482482 option 3, or you can email sales@mansfieldtown.net, and there will be a number of awards given out on the night. Thoughts on the awards this year, Clive? Because I would have loved for it to have been a little bit more supporter facing, if I'm honest. I reckon you could have sold out something like the Palace Theatre for £10 a head and just done it as a Q&A and awards. Forget the dinner. Who needs dinner? You can go to Mackie's after, right?
Well, it's the club's privilege to do what they want at the end of the day. But I do think, yet again, the second year running, they've put execs and sponsors ahead of the fans. And I think it's wrong. And I wouldn't, I mean, it's not a question of cost as far as I'm concerned. I could have gone last year and chose not to. But on the balance of that, I don't think they are approaching it from a fan's point of view, which should be a fan's event. And if they need to have something for the execs and the sponsors, do something extra. But anyway, it's their choice. They do what they want to do. And I, for one, won't be going.
Alan, have you been confirmed as host yet?
No, nothing's been said as of yet.
Well, I'm sure they're missing out on a trick. Let's get Alan Wilson in his tuxedo and get there. Final bit of Mansfield Town news before we delve into the final bit of the show, which is, of course, podcast predictions. And that's something from my old friends at the Community Trust. And that is that this Saturday's game against Colchester is going to be the Community Trust's day. And they're labelling it. Bring a pound to the ground. I wonder how long it took them to come up with that one. The Trust are encouraging fans on the day of the game to bring a pound to the ground, with all funds being reinvested back into programmes ran by Mansfield Town Community Trust. Fans can donate using cash via bucket collections on the day or scan QR codes located around the ground to donate online. Mansfield Town Community Trust will also be running inflatable activities on the 3G for fans of all ages to win Mansfield Town Football Club prizes, and will also be running a raffle. All fans are encouraged to get involved. With plenty to look forward to on the day, Mansfield Town Community Trust Business Development Manager Alex Cartwright said anyone living in and around Mansfield would have had some involvement with the Trust over the last 34 years in some way, shape or form. Whether that's through our work in local primary or secondary schools, our health and wellbeing sessions, education courses, football and coaching sessions or match day activities, people will have engaged with Mansfield Town Community Trust at some level. We're encouraging fans to donate at least a pound on the day, with the money being reinvested back into the community. The team will also be running two inflatable activities on the 3G, with adults and children having the opportunity to win Mansfield Town related gifts. Formerly known as Mansfield Town Football in the Community, Mansfield Town Community Trust deliver a range of projects and programmes across Mansfield, North and Mid Nottinghamshire. The day will be used by the Trust to spread some awareness about Mansfield Town Community Trust work, engage with fans and raise funds for the Trust. Mansfield Town Community Trust work across a range of projects which fall into their school, sport, education, health and wellbeing and community engagement and inclusion departments. Please do feel free to get involved with that. It'll be a great day. I, for one, can tell you that the Trust do phenomenal work and have changed incredibly over the last 2-3 years, especially since the end of the COVID pandemic, and changing the name from Mansfield Town Football in the Community to Community Trust just emphasises, Alan, how much strides they have made going forward.
Yeah, I'm going to say I was part of the walking football when that that had been going quite a while before I joined, but it's a very good worthwhile venture, and please do dig deep.
Yeah, if you take a pound for the 50-50, because that's not cashless, take another pound with you and invest in the Community Trust and support some real good community projects. Right, time now to do the feature that you've spent the last hour and 7 minutes waiting for. It's this. So will they win, lose or draw? And what will be the score? It's the guessing game that brings you zero fame. But to be the best, you must outguess the rest. So will they win, lose or draw? And what will be the score? In the League or Cup, you just make it up. Because they're just works of fiction. It's podcast predictions. Will they win, lose or draw? And that still remains the worst ditty that you will hear on tonight's show. Right, I'm going to kick us off tonight. I'm going to go for a 4-0 win over Colchester United with William Swan as the man of the match. Clive, I'm coming to you next.
I think they've got some monster forwards. I think they'll bag a goal somewhere along the line. I'm going to go for 4-1. And my man of the match will be DKD.
Van Dabby Dozy. Jim, coming to you next.
3-2 home win. Ollie Clark, man of the match.
Alan.
3-0 Mansfield, Lucas Aiken.
Cam.
5-0 Mansfield, Aiden Flint, man of the match.
There you go. As always, you can play along with podcast predictions via the link in the description. You must get your guesses in no later than 1 hour and 1 minute before kickoff on Saturday afternoon. Well, you can also get your prediction in for the Wrexham game now if you wish to do so. And then we'll update you on the league table as we head into the final month of the season during the next lot of podcasts. It is really hotting up in the podcast predictions league. There's been chopping and changing at the top all the way through the campaign. Will it stay the same as we head into Saturday's game? So to recap, I've gone for a 4-0 win with Will Swan as man of the match. Clive also thinks that we're going to get goals with a 4-1 win. DKD going to take the crown of man of the match. Jim thinks he's going to be goals too, but it's going to be a much tighter affair, going with a 3-2 win for the Stags. Ollie Clark as man of the match. Alan's gone for a clean sheet with a 3-0 win as Lucas Aikens as his man of the match. And Cam has gone for a second game in succession where we'll score five, going for a 5-0 win over the side that are struggling at the bottom end of Sky Bet League 2, looking the conference in the face. But what do you think? It's not too late to play along with podcast predictions. If you've listened all season and thought, I've not played along with that and now it's too late, it is not too late. You can play along now via the link in the description. Join the game that brings you zero fame. That is podcast predictions. There was a great man from Sutton whose voice something rhymes with Sutton. His name is Alan. He's an absolute king and he's written us a little ditty. Let's hope for the sake of everyone else that it doesn't turn out to be. You can fill in the blanks. Alan Wilson, you can take it away, my friend.
It was just what for going on from the cake. It was walking down the high street, a decision we had to make. Craig offered lots of solutions, but Clive was adamant, no cake.
Oh, disappointed you didn't do the actions, but there you go. Alan Wilson, the king ditty writer, but will he be writing one about us being crowned champions? Will he be writing one about us winning the league and getting promoted to League One? Or will he be writing one about sorrow? Plenty more games still left to go in Sky Bet League Two, but can Mansfield Town continue where they are, keep a hold of where they are, and extend the gap maybe at the top? Next up then is Colchester United, a team that are struggling down the wrong end of the Sky Bet League 2 table. Those games at this time of the season are the most dangerous, which is why it's so important to not be thinking about Wrexham and getting one over them, not be thinking about a promotion party, not be thinking about whether or not it'll be wrapped up by Barrow, not even be thinking about cake. For once, I agree with Clive. No cake until it's done and dusted. Let's just focus on the next game in front of us. That is Colchester United. Can the Stags get all 3 points? Fingers crossed they can. Join us next week to discuss all, where hopefully the Stags have extended their lead at the top of Sky Bet League One, at League Two. Getting ahead of myself already. As always, you can get involved with podcast predictions. The link that you need is in the description. And whilst you're down there as well, why not click on the link for the live event with Ian Bowling, 28th of April, as part of the Beautiful Game exhibition. This is the Mansfield Matters podcast, the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. I've been Craig Priest. Joining me on the panel tonight, Cam Felton, Clive Parkin, Alan Wilson and Jim Evans. And most importantly, you at home. See you next time on the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. Good night.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.